Today on Real Radio.
There is liberty. Please hear me. If you don't know this, there's liberty in being in control of your appetites. You do not have to do what your body says to do, because you know what your body says to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the last paragraph of chapter 6, where the apostle explains that believers are never to take advantage of the mercy and the freedom granted to them. In fact, at the end of the chapter, he reminds us to glorify God in our bodies because we were bought with a price. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called To Tell the Truth.
But look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. Remember last time together, he gave this litany of those who the Corinthians were once without Jesus. And I don't need to go through that list. It's huge. You can read it later. 1 Corinthians 6. But look at verse 11. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we say amen to that? Who we once were, we are no longer. Hallelujah. And that is a great thing. Point number one this morning, to tell the truth. Here we go. To tell the truth, what's your favorite thing to do? Don't shout it out. Just put it in your heart and mind and meditate on it as I speak to you this morning. What is your favorite thing to do? Paul is asking the Corinthian believers. With a little bit of divine sarcasm, he applies a biblical question. Corinthians, Californians, Chino Hillians, or wherever you're from, what is your favorite thing to do? That's the question that goes out. And here it is. We want to look at ourselves this way. What is our favorite thing to do as individuals? Number one, I look at this starting at verse 12. My actions. My actions say that I'm a free man. So what do you like to do? If you are a Christian, your actions will speak, and your actions will indicate to all who know you that you are a free man. He says, all things are lawful for me. And I'm going to need you to get your highlighter out. Get your pen ready, Bible students. If you've never marked up your Bible, today's the day to start marking it. And when it's all marked up, put a rubber band around it, put it on the shelf, and buy a new Bible. Start again. All things are lawful for me. This is an awesome statement. Paul is saying, as a Christian, I have been freed from the powers of sin and death. I have, listen to this, I have no handles, grips, or bars protruding from my life of this world anymore. You guys, I hate to put this picture into your mind, but it's in my mind, so I thought I'd pollute your mind with it as well. Have you ever seen those Olympic speed skaters that have thighs about as big as a cow? There's, you know those guys? Whoosh, 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 right? Have you seen those clothes they wear? It's so embarrassing. I think they stand there and they just spray them in plastic. And what's the whole purpose? They got that helmet on, looks like a bug. And that guy's going so fast and he's skating on that ice. Are those Olympic speed bicyclist dudes? It's all about being sleek and fast and removing any chance of resistance to the cause. Are you with me? Paul is saying, for the believer, all the stuff's been washed away. We've now been slipped into a new body, a spiritual body, a body that is destined for victory, for glory, guaranteed by Jesus. We're real Christians now. We've got a whole new suit on. This is not the clothes we run in. And we are in a race to the end, and we are going, and everything has been slipped away. Another grotesque picture, but very accurate. Do you know how the Olympic wrestlers 2,000 years ago used to wrestle? With oil on their bodies and a jock strap. That's it. You mean they were naked? Yep. Why? They didn't want their opponent to have anything to grab onto to be able to gain the victory over them. So they greased themselves up and they wore a gourd. It's called a gourd. We would call it a jock thing. And they would go out there and they would fight to win a wreath. And that's the very word when Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we would go, wow, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Immediately the Greeks would understand what he's talking about. He says, but we wrestle against demonic spirits. Well, you can't put on enough grease to wrestle with a demonic spirit. And you can't, wearing a gold-plated jock strap's not even going to help you with a demonic spirit. It could be made out of kryptonite. It's not going to help. It's spiritual. Are you clothed? And are you a free man in Jesus? Listen, this is for you to talk to God about. I'm only the messenger. Are you free? Is your favorite thing your liberty in Jesus Christ? Paul said to him, I am free. He says, all things are lawful for me. Technically, the word means I can do anything I want to do because I'm a Christian now. Listen to what I'm saying. Look at what he does. He quotes a proverb of the day. But all things are not helpful. But all things are not helpful. I'm completely free to do anything I want. My salvation will not be taken away from me. That being the case, do I go do whatever I want to? Or do I do what God wants me to do? Listen to me right now. If you call yourself a Christian and you live for what you want to do, you are not free, and there's serious doubts if you're a Christian. Paul says, I'm a Christian. I'm free to live any kind of life I choose, but I choose to follow Christ. And I've concluded, church, circle this. Our culture needs this like never before. All things are not helpful. Honestly, can a Christian drink and get drunk and go to hell for that? No. But is it wise for him to do? It's not wise. Is it a good witness? Nope. Is it Christ honoring? Nope. Could you get in trouble? Yep. I can do anything I want. You sure can, can't you? And not everybody can receive this message today. Some of you maybe, I hope not in this church, maybe some other church, but not this church. You might be thinking, I can become a Christian and do anything I want? Cool. That's not a Christian. You've deceived yourself. You're tricking yourself. A real Christian says, wow, you mean I've got such liberty in Jesus, but now how I live is to his glory? The real Christian says, that is awesome. You mean I can live my life pleasing God just by how I live? Because listen, by how I live, it's not the status I earn by how I live. It's because of the status he's given me, I get to live. I get to be free from the grip of the world. Remember, we've all got that crazy looking plastic suit on. We're free. There's no handles on us. There's nothing to grab. Does the world have something to grab and say, look, this is where we have a stronghold? That's why the things that beset us, the things that really are dangerous, somebody might say, well, this is my secret little favorite thing. This is my little indulgence. Are you really free? He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul answers a tragically common question of not only this era, but of his own. Since I'm a Christian, somebody might say, why can't I just smoke pot, get drunk, eat all the time, become a glutton, do whatever I want to do, and live the life I want to live my way? Can't I be a Christian? People ask us, well, can't I just do what I want and be a Christian? I had somebody recently tell me, listen, I'm sleeping. I'm not sleeping with my boyfriend. I'm sleeping with anybody I want to sleep with. This was a teenager. And I said, listen, you need Jesus. You need Christ. And that young lady was offended. What? Are you implying I'm not a Christian? I said, the words are yours. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, wake up now. You can't live a life that is for your own indulgences and then say that when it's all over in the end, I'm going to go to heaven. What a great world. Live like I don't know God, but at the right time, pull out the God or Jesus trump card, and I'm home free. That's called antinomianism, and it will destroy your life. It means I can sin. Listen, I can sin and quickly run and go have it confessed, and then go right back and do it again, then run back and quickly confess, and then go live it again, confessing with the intent to do the sin again is death. You're not free. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. In Proverbs 23, 21, the Bible says the drunk and the overeater will come to poverty, and a drowsy man will clothe himself in rags. Isn't that funny? What a great proverb. Put that over your teenage son's bedroom. Get dressed. Put your clothes on. Why? I love that. The drowsy man, he's going to wear rags. He's too tired to put his nice clothes on. He's pooped out. The drunk, the overeater, they indulge themselves and they don't progress their life. They don't advance their life. They're given over to fleshly appetites. Church family, listen. And look, I know I'm going to sound incredibly hypocritical. You all know I'm guilty as charged. I love Wahoo's fish tacos. Okay, if you can't find me anywhere in the world, you'll find me over there. Love it. Okay. But I've got a system down. It's such a high-protein meal. This is how I justify my sin, I guess, right? Are you with me? It's such a high-protein meal, I can actually eat that once a day. And I hardly eat anything for the remainder of the day. You say, well, that's great for you. So that's my little thing. But if I'm living to eat, gosh, that was a great breakfast. Okay, you guys, where are we going to go to lunch? Okay, no, that's not a good place. That other place has bigger portions. And then, you know what, we'll go from there and then later, you know, go back to work and then a little later, about 6:30, I'll meet you at that place for dinner. You are living to eat. We should be disciplined to eat to live. Think about it. You'd be surprised how little you have to eat to live. Huh? You mean I can't, what? I can't have waffles, french fries, the pop, and everything, and then order? Right? You'd be surprised. Watch out. Why? Because your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body doesn't belong to us. You can't do what you want with your body. You say you want me to become a Christian? It doesn't sound like much of an invitation. Oh my goodness, there's freedom in this. It's so cool to live like this. So listen, the actions determine if I'm a free man. Very important. Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Think about that for a moment. I want to follow Jesus because Jesus says he loves me. And then he says, listen, I'll put my love in you that you might love others. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. My friends, Christians, you are freed from the law of sin and death. Do you understand that? You will never, if you're a Christian, be beaten up by the Ten Commandments, ever. Did you know that? You will not stand before Jesus in the judgment seat of Christ, and he rolls out the Ten Commandments and judges you according to those Ten Commandments. Did you know that? The non-Christian will be judged by those. You, my friend, those judgments fell upon Christ at the cross. He took your judgment. We say, then what's the judgment seat of Christ for? You and I are going to be judged for what we've done for him. Amen. Your forgiveness is settled. It's been removed. Now that's true, get up and be free. Live it. Second thing under this point is this. What's your favorite thing to do? My words say that I'm already taken. My words say that I'm spoken for, that I'm already taken. He says foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods. We don't need to spend much time on this whatsoever. It means this. My words say that I'm already spoken for. Christ owns me. Meaning this. I understand. I understand that because the Lord has called me, his son, you, his daughter, You're in the family of God. You're spoken for. You're sealed. You've been taken. You're his. That I understand this. I will not be brought under the bondage. Now listen, make this apply to where it needs to apply in your life. I will not be brought under the bondage of the stuff of this world. If it's food, if it's what? Fill in the blank. Is it possessions? Is it what? What is it? Listen, think about it. It could be your sexual appetite. It could be whatever. Do those things control you or do you control them? There is liberty. Please hear me. If you don't know this, there's liberty in being in control of your appetites. You do not have to do what your body says to do. Because you know what your body says to do. I spoke to a bunch of high school guys yesterday. It's so funny. It's so funny because their parents are like, well, some of them were the late 30s and 40s, 45. So here I am, 53, and I said, well, here I am, you know, and you guys, this is what, and we're talking, and I said, you need to possess your body, says the scriptures, in integrity, and I was talking about that. And I talked about how, guys, right now your hormones are going crazy, and all you have to do is see the word girl, and it's like, whoa! And I said, listen, I had a 95-year-old man tell me that he battled with temptation in that area. And I was very discouraged when I heard that from that 95-year-old man. I said, please tell me you're kidding me. And the older I get, the more I realize that man was true. He's telling the truth. You see, but Jack, you're flabby and you're out of shape and you look like the cat just drug something in. And what? Hey, listen. You're going to hear in a moment that the Bible says we need to flee youthful lust. Why? Because the world and this flesh wants to get together. And if you don't tell it to sit down by the power of the Word of God, it's going to mess up your life. And listen, it's greater to have His power at work in your life than to be vandalized and victimized by the whims of the flesh in this world. And there's something awesome. By the way, the Wednesday Nighters, I've issued the Wednesday Nighters a challenge to get up with me early in the morning, and I'm getting emails and updates from their commitment. We're joining together. I won't tell you the time. It might offend somebody. It's early. And we're meeting in spirit. Huh? What? What? Nah, you should have been here. Anyway, we had a service and we had this thing and it's very cool. And we're embarking upon this. We're gonna just follow Jesus. Crazy, crazy follow Jesus. And I've already heard reports. It hasn't even been a week yet. And people are telling me, I can't believe the presence of God in my life since I've been doing this early mornings with Jesus. And the stuff that's been tripping me up, I've been saying no to it. Do you understand how awesome that is? Every Pastor Jack, I would want to come home every day and just to de-stress from the day, I would want to get my whiskey and something. Mix. And he said, since that commitment, it's gone. It's gone. Why? Jesus has taken the place. He takes that place. You're already spoken for. You're taken. You belong to the King. You're God's property now. Food doesn't have to control you. Next thing is this, look at verse 14, intentions. My intentions say that I'm looking ahead. What's your favorite thing to do? Look ahead. What do you mean look ahead? I'm hoping Jesus comes back today. I'm hoping, listen, that my life, if I live it to the fullest, to the end, at whatever time that will be, that it brings glory to God, I'm looking ahead. It's so funny to me that this world is so devoted to its 401k and its retirement plan and winds up bailing out on its eternal commitment. Well, how's your portfolio? And you tell some guy, you know, well, I invested everything in Enron. Oh, what a dope. Oh, boy, are you a loser. I mean, I'm making this up. I didn't do it. Oh, I invested in this and invested in that. And that guy goes, boy, what a loser you are. You lost everything. Well, can I ask you a question? Yeah, sure, man. I'm worth billions. What are you doing about your eternal retirement? What? I don't get into that religious stuff. Listen, I've done a lot of funerals in my life. I have never once seen a Beacons or U-Haul van taking the guy's junk over to the graveyard with him. Hey, buddy, here's your piano. Here's your Ferrari. Right? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Warren Buffett, Rupert Murdoch, Bill Gates, Prince Halamilhelama. What does it profit? So you have, so what? You have a platinum plated car. What are you gonna do with that? You're gonna drive it into hell? Hey, got air conditioning? No, you're not. Not gonna work. Look ahead. We are not gonna live in this world forever. And we're gonna be with the Lord forever in glory. Verse 14 says, but God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Circle it. That's the Bible. It will happen. It will happen. I'm more sure of this happening than tomorrow's newspapers. What it might say, I can guess. Not this. It's going to happen. Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit will resurrect you and I in the end. And we will stand, like Job said, before our Maker in the flesh. God will resurrect us. Your body someday will come out of the ground, and it will look very different. Thank you, God. The resurrection of, listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's greatest triumph ever and ever shall be. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. It was amazing that he came to this earth. It was amazing that he lived the life that he lived. It was amazing that he died on the cross for us. But my friends, if the story ended there, we're without hope. And we should run out of this building and just go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But guess what? We are looking ahead because there's a great investment taking place, and the ultimate, ultimate dividend will be resurrection. Your body will be raised from the grave. And Jesus' triumph over the grave, his resurrection, sealed the deal forever. It's the greatest message, and you have it. Tell the world. I used to tell people all the time, will you come to Easter service? Because I've been asking you to go to church all year. If you come to Easter service, I won't ask you to come back to church ever again. You know, any good pagan, worshiping, maniac, unbelieving atheist would say, that's a deal. You will never ask me again. I'm coming to church. Try it and see what happens. Intentions. Are you looking ahead? It makes a big difference. The Corinthian church was not looking ahead. They had the philosophy of the world, and it meant this. In their spiritual philosophy, if I believe in God, I can live any way I want because that world's physical. This world's spiritual. The two will never meet, so I'm cool. I can say I'm a believer and live like I'm not, and it works out great. And a lot of people live like that today. And it's not true. Why? Because there's a future coming.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that looks at the last paragraph of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's where Paul reminds us to glorify God in our bodies because we were bought with a price. The title of this study, To Tell the Truth. Now, To Tell the Truth is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, if you'd like to hear today's Real Radio once again, you can always visit us at realradioactive.org. Listen to today's broadcast as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past editions of Real Radio. You can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.